This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
To the community of Lee County, we grieve by your side. And we pledge our unwavering support to help you rebuild from the very depths of this horrible tragedy.
There's no doubt that those tornadoes, 170 miles an hour, 2 minutes worth of destruction, and it is so sad. I just was looking at drone footage of it. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, that's the president talking about Lee County specifically, that Alabama community of Beauregard killing 23 people, the tornadoes, and tornadoes that were also deadly hitting Georgia and parts of Florida, too. But, boy, it was awful, awful, awful there. And usually you can see, and I've said this before, traces of homes, and you could see a little bit of that, but most of it was purely flattened. It was that awful what happened there, and you got to feel for those people when you lose family members and whole families were wiped out. Generations of families, in fact, were wiped out. Not much time to do anything to try to escape it. And clearly 170 miles an hour. And as wide as 23 miles, giant tornadoes, you're not going to get away. And it's a matter of just trying to do whatever you can. People hanging on to mantles for dear life. Some people surviving it, but so many losing their life. It's going to take a while to get that community back on its feet. That's for certain. And like I said, you got to feel for them. Not something that you want to have happen in your world where it just knocks you off your feet. And that's exactly what it looked like. And I've seen tornadoes, and this was no little cloud. I mean, this was giant, the way that it ripped through there. And the description of what it sounds like a train coming right on top of you, that's pretty much what the people suffered. So they think that more people will be found, unfortunately, dead, and that death toll will rise. And they're going to be doing this recovery thing for a while in Lee County, Alabama, deadliest tornado outbreak, and they say 50 years in area. News of a different sort here as we kick it all over the place. The president and the wall. What's next for the wall? We know it's bouncing to the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has made it pretty clear to the press that he has a choice. Move ahead with the national emergency at the southern border and face a potential blowback from his own party, or just kind of shift gears. The Senate is likely to pass a resolution to block the emergency declaration. In fact, the votes are there. It's not going to happen. That means a veto. The president's threatening to veto that resolution if it reaches his desk. Then if Congress approves of a measure that would mark kind of a turning point in his presidency, it would be the first time he had a veto, and it would put him definitely squaring off with other Republicans and his people in his own party. And that was one of the key things he promised in the 2016 presidential campaign, that Mexico would pay, there would be a wall. And that was it, that there was going to be a wall. And Republicans are saying they support the president's objective, but they have reservations about a national emergency to free up billions of dollars for it, and also taking that money from key military programs. Remember, the national emergency was declared by the president on February 15th to free up that money for the border wall. And many of you have written to me about the wall. It's kind of a split deal here on the show where some think it's just do it, and others say, there's got to be another way to get that money. And then, well, so really it's kind of three-way. And others say, is that really going to be that much of a detriment? Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, is the latest Republican to voice objections to that emergency declaration. He said during a speech in Kentucky over the weekend that approving the emergency declaration would be pretty much like giving extra constitutional powers to the president. And he said, I just can't do it. I can't vote to give the president the power to spend money that hasn't been appropriated by Congress. And he said, look, we might want more money for border security, but Congress didn't authorize it. If we take away the checks and balances, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So it doesn't look like that's going anywhere. Because there was objections and conversations about that, and pretty much that's all in place. And remember, in the House, it didn't go in the House. In the House, there were lots of concerns. There were some concerns, anyway, raised by some of the Republican lawmakers, but only 13 ended up breaking with the party. And, of course, they didn't have to because they knew that it wasn't going anywhere. There wasn't going to be an emergency that was going to be approved. Speaking of emergencies, imagine it's the last day or two and you hold a winning lottery ticket of $1.5 billion. Yeah, the winner of the $1.5 billion Mega Millions jackpot finally came forward in South Carolina. It's interesting because on this show we talk about what you're talking about in your backyard. I had dinner. I had a girls' night out. I haven't had that in forever with some longtime friends, all from different walks of life. And besides a little bit of politics and a few other things, one of the big conversations was, hey, what about this lottery ticket? Because it's one of the largest in U.S. history. And it was upfront cash, boom, a one-time payment of a lot of money. Lots of zeros. And they got it. The winner was this customer with a quick pick in the lottery in a right there. Think about that. My mind raced kind of in a couple of different directions. I'm thinking I'm in that quick pick line around the same time, and I'm in front of the person who had just a simple quick pick, or I'm behind them. What's great is that this market, this little KC market, they don't get jobbed out of the money they were supposed to get, because when somebody wins a lottery ticket, they end up getting some money, so they get money. And listen, in South Carolina, you don't have to say you won the lottery. So the winner wanted to be anonymous. Gee, shocker. I want to be anonymous. Now, the Mart, they get $50,000 for selling the winning lottery ticket. So a little bit of luck for them. And the state of South Carolina, they get $61 million in income taxes from the winner. That's why you take the one-time deal, right? I pick one ticket. It's a quick pick. Oh, my gosh, I won it. You got to be kidding me. Just take all the money right there. Just take all the taxes and move on from that. What a problem to have. And then you get to be anonymous. Who are you telling? Are you telling anyone in your inner circle? That's what I want to know. Would you tell anyone? Coming up, a little bit of odds and ends. Sad about Luke Perry. We'll talk about it on the flip side with me, Kate Delaney.
Hello, I am looking for a special soul from the GCN audience to hire to come to East Ridge, Tennessee and take care of two peaceful, easygoing people, which are a sweet 95-year-old woman and her 60-year-old son. Terms would be free room and board, plus the use of all of our facilities here at home, in exchange for living with us and seeing to our needs. We must have someone that fits in well. We get along with most anybody and value those who like to do the same. We live in a suburb of the scenic city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please email Matt at peaceaboveall.net. for additional information. Please include your informal resume stating your strengths and weaknesses and reasons you would make a dedicated caregiver. We would also offer to negotiate a nominal salary in addition to everything else. Again, please email matt@peaceaboveall.net. Thanks for responding.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
I grew up in Ohio in a pretty small town, and it's a fur piece from that, that's for sure. I mean, it's a lot different, but I'm not complaining.
Sad to hear the voice of Luke Perry, in a sense, because at the age of 52, massive stroke, and he is gone, part of odds and ends. He was too young for a stroke, you would think, but then you do a little research on this and you realize fatal stroke, 52. It's one of more than 795,000 Americans, apparently, who die each year from the fifth leading cause of death. And, he had the brain swelling after that massive stroke, and they couldn't do much to save him, although they certainly tried. He was surrounded by his family when he died, and he was one of those guys that, especially when you think of the 90s, he had an impact because he was on a popular show when there wasn't a zillion shows streaming, too. And the show was very, very, very popular, Beverly Hills 90210. He currently had been starring in something called Riverdale, and he was well-liked by lots of people in Hollywood who expressed their, sorrow over the loss of him. You just, if you think 50s, somebody said this to me the other day, well, what is the appropriate age when we say, well, they lived a great life? And I say it all the time, a life well-lived. When you hear these stories of people who are in their late 80s and 90s, and they're super, super healthy, and then they pass away in their sleep, and you think, that's a good life. Where they didn't have a lot of ailments, and they survived, and they were still pretty much, in a sense, thriving, had people around them. But, this is one thing we all share. We just don't know what's going to happen, and it is sad. what they'll do on that show, who knows? And I'm sure it'll be kind of a who's who for whatever service they have for Luke Perry, if they do one where they include people who worked with him, which I imagine they would probably do that. Okay, I call this segment Odds and Ends because there are odd things that sometimes we don't get to talk about, since so much of what we're talking about is what affects you in your backyard and mine. Well, one of the things that affects us that's worth talking about is this bloody snow. I saw a headline, and this said it all to me. March of Sadness, freezing cold for 220 million Americans, another big storm to blast California. And you think, wow, you're kidding me. And in Boston, they had a crazy amount of snow. People were out digging out, and there were storms that were in the Philadelphia area, all up and down the East Coast. There were flights that were canceled. Wind chills were unbelievable in the northern plains, 6 below zero in some spots, probably where some of you are listening to me. I can tell you that in the great state of Texas, it was pretty dang cold, where it felt like, you know, 2 degrees in some areas, but no firewood to be had anywhere because everyone's buying it out. 5 inches of slushy white stuff in New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio closed schools on Monday. Heavy rain between San Francisco and L.A. They're saying just it's been crazy as far as rain is concerned. In Santa Barbara County, they're evacuating some areas because you had all those acres that were burned in these fires in 2017 and 2016. And you get those mudslides, it is a disaster beyond belief. And in the Sierra Nevada, 4 feet possible in some of those areas. Yeah, you're not going anywhere if you get that much snow. You're staying put, let's put it that way. I mean, just crazy how much snow that we're talking about. In March, it is like March sadness or madness. Didn't it used to be, hey, November, December, January, February, and then we start to come out of this whole thing by March, but not anymore. And that is why, for me, I'll tell you what I started doing. You hear the spots on the show, but Tahibo Tree Tea, because it is about the Tahibo Tree, the tea, for me, is a must. It's a must, too, because we're taking the show in less than a month to Ireland, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't catch anything from anyone, a cold, somebody hacking on me when I was just recently traveling. I was kind of worried about that. So this pure Paul D'Arco, this, you know, Tebow tea that you've been hearing, I've been drinking it. You soak it, it is very cool. And, you know, I don't say things lightly when I talk about that kind of stuff on the show, and I'm a tea drinker anyway. But what this tea is doing for me, especially with me walking and stuff, it's, I don't know, it's making me feel really resilient. Because I talked about the cold. Everybody around me was whining about the cold, and it was cold, but I didn't get that sore throat thing. Ooh, scary. And many of you who have been with me in the 10-plus years I've been doing this show now, because can you believe it, 10-plus? Because now we're in 2019. You know I get, just like you, I get that winter cold, maybe one or two, where I just have the worst dry throat. It's awful. But this is my bet that I'm not going to have that happen to me. So I like it. You'll be hearing me drink it on the air coming up. That'll be a good sound, right? I think she's got the coffee cup, the teacup in her hand. Because usually I put it in a coffee cup, but sometimes I put it in the teacup. You know what I'm saying? All right, moving on to something else, odds and ends. The one of the craziest things that I've seen in watching what's happening, you know, looking around at what's going on and what people are talking about is probably this, you know, whole phenomenon that continues to live on. And because I don't watch a ton of TV, but I'm smart enough to realize what people are watching, is The Bachelor. some of the smartest people I know, they don't watch a lot of TV, but they watch The Bachelor. Is this contrived or what? So I looked at a little snippet of it. I didn't watch it, but I looked at a little snippet of it. No offense to the people who are big fans. What a great gig for this guy, Colton Underwood. So he gets to be featured in all these episodes, all these beautiful women talking about him, how great he is, and, oh, they want to date him, they want to hang with him, all this stuff. And what it would be like. He wants to be in love. He wants to see it happening. And he gets to go to Portugal. The show sends him to Portugal. How rough is that? Then he's having dinner with somebody else, and then they're talking about what their life would be like, and, oh, I don't get it. And at the end of these shows, and it's been going on for a long time, somebody gets an engagement ring. But then it's a question of if they're going to stay together or not. And some of these couples, I guess, have stayed together. So they have a 2-hour finale that airs here coming up soon. And that's what happens. You just, I guess you agree to go on the show and they're going to film you, and maybe he's into you, maybe you're into him, maybe you get lucky and you get the ring in the end. But having that whole contrived television thing, how strange would it be when the cameras aren't there? What would that be like? I guess some of these couples have made it work and others have not made it work. So, a complete fail. Complete. And I'm wondering which direction, you know, this one goes. I'm wondering, very curious as to whether it works out for him or not. Do you care? People care. Millions and millions of people watch this. It's like Fortnite. Fortnite is huge in the gaming world. You say the word Fortnite and you can see it in people's eyes when they know completely what you're talking about. Especially kids, but even beyond kids. And The Bachelor has that, is that same, in a different way, same kind of phenomena. Just loyal, crazy, crazy fans. All right, I am crazy about our next guest coming up because he is an astronaut. Leroy Chow, the astronaut. He's a Chinese-American engineer. And he is an engineering consultant now. He is a former International Space Station commander. And boy, can you imagine being him? Oh, when he talks about the space station, 15 years in his flying career, 6 spacewalks. Woohoo! That's next.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
A monster tornado as it moved across the area.
You're listening to Chris Darden with the National Weather Service at a news conference about the massive EF4 tornado, which kills more than 20 people in the state of Alabama, among them 3 children ages 6, 9, and 10. And right now the search is on for more people who are still unaccounted for. Rescue dogs going through piles and piles of debris.
We've been talking with family members and residents in the area trying to get a count of how many individuals that we're looking for. But again, our efforts are concentrated on that. We have canine teams coming in from all over the state of Alabama and from the state of Georgia.
That's Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones. In other news, on Wall Street, the Dow down almost 207 points, the NASDAQ down almost 18, and the S&P 500 down almost 11 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to your nightly fix of Forbes with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
All right, for people who listen to the show, they know I'm obsessed with space. I really am, and I think Greg Stebbin knows that as well. So I am thrilled to welcome to the show astronaut Leroy Chow. He is joining us from his virtual green room. I wonder what that looks like. Leroy, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be on.
I have kind of a funny question to ask you at the beginning. Because I'm in media, a lot of times at parties, I'm one of those sought after people, but I think you would absolutely trump me. When you're at a party and people ask you, hey, what do you do? What kind of reactions do you get?
Yeah, well, usually when people, learn that I'm an astronaut, they're obviously interested and want to talk about what it's like and what I've done. And, I'm usually a little bit more coy about telling people who I am because, I'll be a little bit cagey. Said, I used to work at NASA. Oh, well, what did you do? Oh, I used to work in flight crew operations. And, if they push a little farther, then I'll tell them what I actually did. And if they're really interested,
Wait. If they're really in, so how many times have you had someone not be interested?
Well, I say, well, I used to work at NASA. Oh, that's nice. And they walk away or they just talk about something else. And that's fine. I don't need to. Actually, the funniest case of that was one time I was on an airplane and I had been upgraded to first class, which I was happy about. And there was a kind of an older gentleman sitting next to me, and he obviously knew the flight crew. He was calling the flight attendants by name and saying hi to them. And he seemed a friendly guy, and he started talking to me a little bit. And before takeoff, he says, I used to fly these things. I just recently retired, And I said, oh, well, congratulations. That's great. I'm sure you had an interesting career. And he says, oh, yeah. And it's like, what do you do? And I said, well, And at the time, I was still at NASA, and I said, I work at NASA. He's, oh, okay, well, what would you do for NASA? And I was, you know, I worked in kind of flight crew operations and this and that. And he's, well, what does that mean? What did you do? And I said, actually, I'm an astronaut. And I just shut him up. He didn't say another word.
And I would imagine that in the world of NASA and astronauts, there's probably even kind of a social ranking there, too. But I would assume that if you've been in the International Space Shuttle a few times and your title is International Space Station Commander, it's probably pretty hard to rank you. Is there anybody in the social strata of NASA who kind of one-ups you in what you are and what you've done?
Well, I think it probably depends who you ask, you know, because in the beginning of NASA and beginning of all human spaceflight programs, they always start with military test pilots as their astronauts, right? And so when I was at NASA, certainly the military test pilots still pretty much ran the astronaut office. And so there definitely was a pecking order. That's become less so nowadays with, you know, it's more of a balance between military and civilian astronauts. But certainly in the space shuttle program days, shuttle commanders were kind of the military test pilot. Shuttle commander was kind of the top of the pecking order, right? And so civilian astronauts like me, who were not test pilots, you know, even though I'm a pilot, but I'm not a test pilot, was one of the lower ones, I guess. But that has kind of changed. Like I said, it's kind of in the advent of the International Space Station. When they were looking for people like me to become commanders, then we were a little bit more on an equal footing. But until probably the last 5, 7, 8 years or so, since the space shuttle was retired, up until that point, the space shuttle commanders were still kind of the top of the pecking order. But that's kind of leveled out a bit.
When getting into this line of work, it just conjures up all kinds of things, where you've been, what it was like, and of course we'll ask you all those questions, but did you ever imagine as a kid that you would be in space? Did you think that?
Well, I was 8 years old, 50 years ago when we landed on the moon, and that was what started for me. Even as a person younger than that, when I was younger than eight, I was always interested in airplanes and rockets. I remember looking, you know, through picture books of airplanes and even reading kid books about flying. And, so I've always had that interest, but it really was the moon landing that kind of made me think, wow, you know, I mean, I remember after the actual landing was almost more amazing to me than the walk, you know, because these guys actually landed on the moon, you know, and I'd go out and look at the moon and, you know, realize that, wow, almost 250,000 miles away, there are two astronauts getting ready to go out and take those first steps, you know, and I just thought, wow, I want to be like those guys. That's what I want to be. You know, now, of course, everybody in those days, you know, all my buddies, we all wanted to be astronauts, and we always played for, you know, we'd go out and play, and, you know, I built a command module on the workbench underneath the workbench in our garage, you know, and we played all those games, but it actually stuck with me. And when I was at university, studying engineering, I kind of came back to, well, you know, I'd always been interested in technical things, so kind of going in that direction was natural for me. And that qualified me to apply to NASA, you know, because the space shuttle program was just starting up. When I went to college, they had just selected their first group of space shuttle astronauts, which included a whole bunch of civilian engineers, scientists, and medical doctors. You know, and so suddenly the opportunity opened up for me, and I realized, hey, I really have a shot at getting there. And so I always knew that after I finished my schooling, that I would apply to NASA and try to get in there.
We're talking with Leroy Chow. He's a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. He's an author, speaker, consultant. His book is One Orbit. His website is leroychow.com. Chow is C-H-I-A-O, leroychow.com. And Leroy, you now have mentioned, you know, as a kid, an eight-year-old, on the 50th anniversary, well, 50 years ago, there's two men about to walk on the moon. And you're the only person I've ever talked to who's actually done a spacewalk. Can you tell us what that's like?
Sure. Yeah. Spacewalk is, if I had to describe it in one word, I would say surreal. You do a lot of training to go out and do a spacewalk, and we train underwater. We actually do get in a spacesuit, and we go into the water. We're lowered into the water, and divers will put weights in different pockets around the suits so we're neutrally buoyant. Then we can simulate or train to do the tasks that we're going to do. Now, spacewalks are planned for about 6.5 hours each, and it's nothing like the movies at all. The movies, you put a spacesuit on in a mere seconds, and you go and walk into this huge airlock and depressurize, and you're outside, and you can hear yourself breathing and your heart beating and moving along effortlessly, and none of that is true. Okay, so first of all, spacewalk is a very physical activity. Think about it. You're working inside of a balloon. This thing's inflated to keep pressure on your body to keep you alive. And even though you're operating at, in the case of the American suit, 4.3 PSI or a little bit more than a quarter of an atmosphere, it's still extremely stiff. The suit, every time you move your arms and your fingers, you're exerting energy. You're using your muscles to move those joints around. And after 6.5 hours, you can be pretty beat, depending on what kind of activities you're doing. It's also very loud in the suit. There's a very loud fan that blows oxygen over your face. So that's a good sound. If you ever get silent, then that's a bad thing. Because of the noise, you can't hear yourself breathe or your heartbeat or anything like that. Not that you could anyway, because it's interesting, in the U.S. suits, the pressure is so low that you can't whistle. It's kind of fun to sit there and try to whistle, but you physically can't move enough molecules past your lips to make a whistling sound, Now, interestingly, the Russian suit, interestingly, operates at slightly higher pressure at 5.9 PSI, and so it's even more stiff, but that little bit of difference in pressure, you can whistle. You can actually whistle in their suits.
Lauren wow. McCall will be so glad to know
yeah.
that.
How cool is that?
but as far as the physical or the, so that's kind of the physical or technical description of what it's like. But as far as kind of the emotional or the wow of what it's like to be outside in the space suit, it's a totally different experience. Of course, the first time I went into space and I looked out the window, I was just almost overwhelmed by the view of the Earth and the sunlight passing through the atmosphere and the blues and all the colors. And then, but then the first time I went outside in a spacesuit, think about it, you're kind of in your own self-contained spacecraft, right? And so we always go out in pairs with two people so that, if somebody has a problem with a suit or something, the other person can help get the first person back into the airlock and all that. But you're outside, in your own little spacecraft. And I remember the first time I went outside and looked at the Earth, suddenly the Earth became a sphere to me, because you look at it through a window. Of course, intellectually, it's a ball and you can see that it's a ball. But once you get out there and all your peripheral vision gets involved, then it really feels like a big sphere. Right. And so it was even more beautiful and more breathtaking than just looking out the window. But it's like I say, it's surreal because. Like I said, you're in your own personal spacecraft, and in the case of shuttle-based spacewalks, I'm outside, and I'm looking in the back window at my crewmates, inside the space shuttle, and they're waving at me, and I'm waving at them, but, I'm very much alone. Even though they're 3 feet away, I'm very much alone. If I have a problem, my partner outside can help me, but these guys inside can't do anything. And so it's a pretty interesting experience, to be sure.
I bet. Hey, Leroy, can we have you join us for another segment?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so we're going to continue this conversation with Leroy Chow, an astronaut. Imagine that. So hang with us.
It's
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com. It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six.
Welcome to your nightly fix of Forbes with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're continuing our conversation with Leroy Chow. He's an astronaut. It's so fascinating listening to him describe what it's like being in space. What the other astronauts were doing when he was outside. I say outside, like he's outside of the backyard. And it's just wrapping my mind around this is just so, so incredible. I have a million questions for you. That first time that you actually were there, what it was like when you came back down, all of that. Mm-hmm. What was the most surprising thing for you the first time you were in space? What was the biggest surprise?
I think the biggest surprise for me, especially the first time, was how the experience, even while I was in space, would kind of make me reflect on a lot of different things. And what I mean is, I described the view of the Earth. It was just more beautiful than I thought, even though I'd seen the photographs, seen the IMAX movies, which are excellent, by the way, and probably gets about 80 to 85% of the experience.
Seeing it with your own eyes. You're being too kind.
Well, the IMAX movies are pretty good, but of course, there's nothing like being there and seeing it with your own eyes. And the thing that struck me about the view is that every part of the Earth is beautiful in its own ways, right? I mean, even places where rookies would say, oh, well, this is just boring. We're just flying over some desert. This is boring. I'm going to go get something to eat. If you look really closely, especially with using a telephoto lens, you can see the intricate patterns in the sand dunes. Just Mother Nature's beauty is just you know, all over. And some of the most bleak areas, like the Kamchatka Peninsula, you know, where it's basically a nuclear test range for the former Soviet Union, it's beautiful in its own way. And so what I came away with is the Earth from, you know, an outside observer is just such a beautiful planet and it looks very peaceful. But intellectually, of course, I knew that there was war going on, there was famine, there were people suffering. You know, the very places we were flying over at that moment, there were likely people who were dying. And it was tough for me to kind of reconcile that. And so that surprised me that, you know, it really made me start thinking about, wow, you know, what is life all about? And what really is important, you know, it's hard for me to reconcile the two conflicting impressions, or the impression and my intellectual knowledge of the reality of what was going on the Earth.
We're talking with Leroy Chow. He's, as you can tell, a former astronaut, International Space Station commander. Today he's an author. His book is One Orbit. He's a speaker. He's a consultant. His website is LeroyChow.com. Chow is C-H-I-A-O.com. On Twitter, he's AstroDude. On Facebook, he's CDR for Commander, I'm guessing. CDR Leroy Chow. Leroy, talking about that, the impact on you of looking at the Earth and having all those thoughts about the beauty and the intricacies and the patterns, and yet also knowing that things like wars are going on. Are you describing what some call the overview effect?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that term, I believe, was coined fairly recently, sometime in the last year or two. But it's a good name for that effect, the overview effect. You get that big worldview. You get to see the beauty of the Earth, and it changes your perspective. I think it broadens your perspective. And, you know, in my case, how it affected me, you know, I used to be the kind of person that would get irritated by little things, you know, like if I felt I had been overcharged or cheated somewhere, you know, just bother me for the rest of the day, you know, but gosh, after I came back from that experience, I just let all that go. It's not important. This is not important at all. And sometimes, you know, when, my wife would call me and she'd be upset about something and, you know, obviously very upset, I'd stop her and say, is someone, you know, really sick or dead? No. Okay. Well, what happened? We can fix anything else.
Let's talk about your book. Greg's mentioned it a couple of different times, and I right now I just made a note to myself. I'm getting your book the second we wrap up this interview. So tell us about the book and what it was like tackling that.
Sure. And, you know, the book, One Orbit, I have a company called One Orbit, and we do a lot of the speaking things that I used to kind of formalize all that. We do both corporate events as well as biggest component is our school or education events, sponsored education events. We go out and do programs internationally. And so I was encouraged to write the book by a good friend of mine named Denis Glenosh, and he's an art gallery owner in the Czech Republic. In fact, he owns one of the largest modern art galleries in the Czech Republic, in Prague. And he actually published the book. He and I talked about it on and off for a number of years. And finally, in 2016, we got serious about it. And he always wanted me to publish some of the photographs that I had shot for NASA. And so we looked over, he came over to Houston. We looked over a bunch of my photographs, he and his daughter who helps him in the gallery. And we selected a number of photos, and then he basically took charge of it, laid it all out, and he asked me to write captions for the photos. And so, and of course, for the photographs, not only do I describe what the shot is, but I describe what kind of feelings it evoked inside of me or what I was feeling when I shot those photos. So I'd say about 95 to 98% of the photos are shot by me. Obviously, some of the photos of myself were not shot by me, but and a couple of the other ones. But so it's a nice collection of different photographs of the Earth and of space with descriptions about set the scene and also kind of what kind of emotions and feelings they evoke.
We're speaking with Leroy Chow. He's a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. He works in business, consulting, executive coaching, space education. I love that. He's a professional international speaker and a co-founder and CEO of One Orbit. That's the name of his book. We've been talking about that. And of course, he provides keynotes and trainings to companies and schools. So there's my question. You are a space educator. I love that because I think there's a lot of disconnect with younger people with space. So how do you connect them to the excitement and what you just talked about with us?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question that kind of leads into the whole One Orbit thing. The reason we call the company One Orbit is we use that as kind of a metaphor for life. You know, we all get one go around, and our tagline is, you know, make the most of your one orbit. And so what I do, or what we do when we go out to schools, is we talk to the kids. You know, everybody, all the kids, they're always interested in spaceflight, you know. So as you kind of mentioned earlier, what kid doesn't get interested in when you talk about flying into space? And so we kind of use that as the hook to get their interest. And then we talk about, you know, hey, we're going to give you the recipe for success. Now, this doesn't mean you're necessarily going to become an astronaut if you want to become an astronaut or even work at NASA or in the space program. But whatever it is you want to do, the recipe for success is the same. It's number one, you know, do the very best you can in school. Take school seriously, study hard, you know, work hard. And you got to keep yourself healthy, okay? You got to keep your body healthy by getting enough sleep. I point out that fairly recent studies have shown, surprisingly, that the human brain continues to develop until around the age of 30. So it's not only important to get sleep when you're an infant or a toddler, it's important to get sleep even through your young adult years, you know, to keep your brain developing normally and in a healthy manner. We talked about the importance of diet and exercise, you know, and how studies, again, fairly recent studies have shown how absolutely important diet is and that exercise is the single most important factor in your long-term health. You know, so we talk about taking care of your mind, your body, being motivated, working hard, and no matter what you set out to do, that's going to give you the best chance of achieving your goals. And so that's the overriding message we send to the kids. And then we show, of course, I show photographs of my experience. I tell them my personal story, tell them about overcoming obstacles, too. You know, I mean, growing up in the 1960s in America, my parents made a very conscious decision to live in mainstream American neighborhoods, which absolutely was the right decision, so that we, you know, the kids could assimilate as quickly as possible into the mainstream. And, you know, that was great, except I was the only kid that looked different at school, you know, and so, and I was also the smallest in stature, so I definitely experienced a lot of what would now be called bullying, especially in middle school, and, you know, that was no fun. But I told them, tell the kids, and now you've got cyberbullying too, which, you know, adds a whole other dimension. But I said, hey, you know, I was able to kind of use a judo move and take that negative energy and turn it into something positive in that, you know, I use that negative experience to motivate myself to be angry and motivate myself to work harder and to be better than every one of those kids that had been giving me a hard time. And so, you know, I said, you know, you're going to experience hardships and unpleasantness in your life, but, you know, try to keep perspective on it and try to find a way to use that energy in a positive way.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Leroy Chow, what a delight speaking with you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.